Isn't it nice being in here and not outside? I think it's a little warm outside. I don't know about you, but it's a little hot outside. And I think it's going to get a little hot in here this morning, all right? I'm going to kind of approach some really challenging questions, especially after this week. The sermon series, I'm encouraging you to get your little outline out. You can follow along with it. It's called Stand. And I prepared this message series based on Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is going to come in our church the end of July. We're getting ready for Vacation Bible School the end of July. And we're going to be looking at a man in the Bible named Daniel. And we're going to be looking at Daniel. We're going to study Daniel in the Bible. And so I figured I needed to equip you guys to be the workers and the helpers. So for the next few weeks, I was going to preach a series of messages about Daniel and five things in his life that helped him stand out, that helped Daniel stand up, that helped Daniel stand and face the situations and the circumstances that was in front of his life. And so I was planning this sermon series based on Vacation Bible School. But then Friday rolls around, and our Supreme Court issues a ruling that I think is a call for us as Christians to take a stand. And so I was kind of laughing. I told Dan yesterday at Friday evening at a party for his son. I told Dan, God is amazing to me. I'm planning a sermon series for Vacation Bible School that how we take a stand and learn from Daniel to take a stand. And then all of a sudden, God had arranged this series to be at the time and the appropriate time when our Supreme Court issues a ruling on marriage. And it's a call for us Christians to take a stand. And so I kind of want to talk about that. I kind of want to approach that topic. But I want you to always remember, this is really about Vacation Bible School and getting ready for Vacation Bible School and teaching our children. So you're going to kind of get some backstory about Daniel. But it's also going to answer some of the questions that we as Christians are facing today. We're going to be facing for a few years now. Because I want to make sure you understand, I don't think the battle is over. We have been in a battle for abortion since the 1973, and we're still in the midst of that battle. And I think this is another battle that's going to go on for decades, and I think it's something we're going to be experiencing in our country. And to kind of give you a little taste here, several months ago, I was trying to remember when it was, I should have looked it up, but several months ago I preached two sermons on hot topics, on how we as Christians can address some of the hot topics we face. And so they're on the internet. One of those sermons was on abortion, and how do we minister and serve those who've made that tragic decision? Instead of pointing fingers, we need to minister. And that was my point in that sermon series and that sermon. And then I also did a sermon on how do we address this issue of homosexuality. And so I want to encourage you, I don't have time to go back over all of that, but go back on our webpage, CenterPointFBC.com, and you can look up that message and see how we can approach it and how we should approach it. I want to make sure, and it's going to come out in this message series this week, because it's not about an attack. We do not need to be attacking those who battle same-sex attraction. You guys hear me? It is not an attack. It's nothing that we need to fight. We need to love, serve, respect, but we also need to take a stand. And so that kind of move, this is what our series is going to be on. And so I thought God in his wisdom gave me this series when I had one thing in mind and God knew something else was coming. And so I want to encourage you to get your outline out. We're going to kind of talk about Daniel. So we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible up to Daniel chapter 1, or we're going to have them on the screen. But I have the logo for VBS. If you want to see the logo for VBS, we're getting ready for Vacation Bible School, July 26th? All right, July 26th, Sunday night, we'll have Vacation Bible School going through the week. Friday, we have our family day. So we're getting ready for that. But I want to talk about Daniel and how he had to take a stand. And that sometimes in our life, there are times when we need to stand up and be accounted for. There are times in our life when we need to make a choice and say, here I stand, I can do no other. And we got to make those kind of decisions, and those are hard decisions. And so we're going to look at Daniel and five things in his life real quick. If you're looking at your outline there, I'm going to talk about Daniel. Today we're going to look at Daniel standing out. Sometimes we're going to step up and we're going to stand out. I'm going to look like a sore thumb. Anybody? You know, sometimes I'm going to stand out. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But next week, I'm going to look at the one called Stand Up. Daniel has to go to the king and tell the king to his face, you're a sinner. Now, that's a pretty tough calling, I think. And so he's going to confront the king with sin and deal with the king there. He's going to also have to deal with standing strong because the king's going to tell him, you can't pray. There's this time, and right now, you cannot pray. And so he's going to have to stand strong and deal with the challenge of his prayer. He's going to stand in faith because Michael, the archangel, is going to come and tell him that God's heard your prayer and God's going to answer you. And he's going to stand strong in his faith. And the last one, he's going to stand firm in faith. He's got a couple of friends. Anybody recognize Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Anybody remember flannel boards, or am I just old enough to remember flannel boards? Anybody remember those flannel boards? You know, you slap that. You know, they always did Daniel, right? Daniel and, you know, the lion's den, and Daniel and Shadrach, and in the fiery furnace. And we always seen those flannel boards, you know. Now we got videos in our children's departments, and they watch videos of it. Anybody got the video? What is it? What is that? VeggieTales? Anybody get those VeggieTales? And you can buy all those videos. But we're going to look at Daniel and think he had to stand. And we have those choices today. Is there a time when you're faced with something and you're sitting there and it's like, what do I do? You know, do I say anything? How do I respond? You know, like I said, there was the court ruling came out, and Laura was pointing out on Facebook, somebody are posting all sorts of things, and a person we knew posted a very positive thing about gay marriage and then bashed Christians. And then it's like, Laura said, do we respond? What do we do? And this morning we get up, we look at the webpage, and we didn't respond, but my daughter did. And responded with about a 4-page essay. You know, that's Jennifer. You know Jennifer, that's my daughter Jennifer. And basically a very loving, compassionate response. And that's what we really need to have at this time. But how do we make that stand? When do we make that stand? You know, standing for the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons. That's what we want to do. Because it's so easy, and maybe you can identify somebody who stand at the wrong way, at the wrong time, in the wrong reason. You know? And so how do we do that? How does this play out? And so I want to look at Daniel and see what we can learn from Daniel as how they did this. So a little bit of backstory. Back, Daniel came from an area called Jerusalem. Anybody? There's a town called Jerusalem over in the Holy Land, what we call it today. And that's where he lived. And around, all the way around to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar decided he wanted to conquer the world. So he went all the way around and was attacking the world and very successfully conquering the world. He went over and he conquered Jerusalem. Burned the temple, tore up the town, took back all the temple ornaments, all the temple statues, all the golden things in the temple, grabbed those things out of the temple, took those all back to his town of Babylon. And not only that, but he gathered up the people. And he gathered up the brightest and the young men, and he began to bring them back. And I want to begin with that passage of Scripture, kind of give you the setting of this. Look at what it says here. Daniel 1, verses 3 through 5. Then the king commanded Asaphus, don't worry about the names, I'm going to mess them up. So when you read it and you mess it up, you can say the preacher did it too, okay? His chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youth without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. So he said, get the cream of the crop. Get the best of the best. Get the guys, you know, get the who's who. You know, get the kings and queens of high school. Get the prime people. Gather those people up. Then the king, and then he goes on, and teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and the wine that they drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. He's saying, gather up these special people, these nobility, these highly, they're already smart, they're wise, they're the cream of the crop, young men of the nation. Gather these people up and bring them back. And he says, we're going to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture. We're going to teach them the Babylonian language. We want them to speak like we speak. We're going to give them the literature, and they're going to understand our history, and they're going to start behaving and believing like we behave and like we believe. We want them to become Babylonians. We want them to become like we are. We're going to take these people, these Jewish people, and we're going to bring them to our land, and we're going to indoctrinate them and teach them to be like we are. We want them to become us, to be like us. And here's what I want to tell you. That's Satan. See, that's Satan's goal. See, what Satan wants to do, Satan wants to pull us away. Satan wants to draw us away and into a world where we learn what the world learns, where we behave like the world behaves. That's what Satan wants. This guy's evil. He's doing what Satan does. Satan pulls us out, pulls us away, draws us out, and then he starts saying, well, everybody else is doing it. Isn't this what everybody does? He wants us to believe what he believes, act the way he acts, behave the way he behaves. He wants us to be like him. Isn't that Satan's goal? See, and that's what Satan wants to do. This is what the king's doing. This is what our world is doing today. Isn't that what our world is doing today? Come on out here, be like us, be like everybody else, just believe what we believe, act like we hack, behave like we behave, everything would be okay, everything would be good, just come along with us and just be like everybody else. See, this is what Satan does, you know, he's going to teach them and he's going to indoctrinate them and he's going to prepare them, and Satan does that. He pulls us away and he begins to do these things and to lay out these things in our life. And he challenges us with this. Now, we have this in the church. I'm going to give you a word, and I preached on this not long ago, and I've talked about cultural Christianity. All right? Culture, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian because I'm born in America and this is a Christian nation. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I go to church. I'm one of those twofers. You know, I go to church Christmas and Easter. I'm a twofer. I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm a Christian because my parents and my grandparents were Christians, so I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in God. Doesn't that make me a Christian? I believe there's a God. Doesn't that make me a Christian? Yeah. Well, I go to church. I go to church every Sunday. I'm there every Sunday, and you know, I give God an hour. If you're in our church, it's an hour and a half. I give God an hour. Well, maybe some of you don't give an hour. You give about 50 minutes because you're usually 10 minutes late. Excuse me. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but hint, hint. You know my rule. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. You guys got it. All right. You know, but see, I'm a Christian because I darken the door of a church. We live this cultural Christian in America today. We call our nation a Christian nation. Is it? You know, this is Satan. You know, this is what Satan does. This is how Satan works. You know, come on in and just be like everybody else. Just believe what everybody else believes. Behave like everybody else behaves. Here's these guys, and they're challenged with this. You know, even talking about their diet. I'm going to come back to this diet later on, because see, here's a problem. The diet they're going to eat, I don't know about you, but if I have a choice to eat what I prepare, I was going to say what Laura fixed, but I don't want to say that. If I was to eat what I eat or what they prepared for the president, guess what? I choose the president's food, right? Come on now. Yeah. It's the better food, but there's a problem with this food. This food was food offered to idols. This food was sacrificed to idols. And as Jewish young men, guess what? They can't eat that. God told them, don't mess with that. Don't eat that. And so he's really challenging them. And I'm going to come back to this because it's going to play a role in what's going on here. But here's what I want you to know, and here's what I want you to see. As I read these guys, here's this, well, just one word really, but I made it two. I put it this way, be prepared. Be prepared. I'm going to tell you what. If you choose to take a stand, you need to be prepared. This world is going to attack. Friday afternoon, I thought this. This is what's in my mind. I now live in a hostile country. That's my thought. I live in a hostile country. It is no longer receptive of my values. It threw out my values. Now, I'm going to still love our country. God says respect those in authority. I'm going to do all the legal things. But I want to respect them, but I want them to respect me, and I don't think that's there anymore. But see, when you take that stand, I'm going to tell you something. You got to get prepared. Because you need to understand, you're going to be attacked. If you are a Christian, I guarantee you, you will be attacked. All right? It's what's going to happen. It's our world. It's what's out there. You're going to be challenged, and these things are going to happen. Jesus was. Now, anybody think you're better than Jesus? Satan, Jesus had got baptized, rose out of the river for John the Baptist, went out into the desert. As they're out in the desert, Satan shows up. Satan says, I think you're a little hungry. It's been a while since you ate. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? See, you got to be like Eric. Just turn the rock into bread. Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, quotes the scripture. Takes him over and says, listen, look at all this country. Look at all this. This could be all yours. I'll give you all of this. You can rule the world. I'll give you everything you ever want, everything you ever dream of. I'll give you. All you got to do is worship me. Is that what our world offers? Just compromise a little bit. Just give in a little bit. And you can have all of this. And Jesus, again, he responds with God's word. Takes him to the temple and puts him on top and says, you just throw yourself off. God will save you. God will take care of you. Just throw yourself off. Don't tempt God, he says. Satan does the same thing. Satan has not changed. He did it with Daniel and those young men. He did it with Jesus, and he's doing it today. Anybody agree with me? Satan is out. He has the same plan. We need to get ready for the battle. You need to be prepared for the battle. Look at what it says here, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil wants to attack. The devil wants to go at you. And he makes it sound so good. Think about it. Here's these young men from Jerusalem in Babylon. And they are given a free education. Isn't that good? Free education. They're given free room and board. And not just any food. They're given the best food. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds good to me. I got a good education. I got the best food. All I got to do is do what the king says. That's not bad. Just, it's just a little. Does Satan make things sound so tempting? He makes things sound so good. It'll solve all your problems just a little bit here and there. Just a little compromise. Just give a little bit here, and it'll be okay. You'll get through it. And then once you get through it, you can get back to God. We need to get prepared. These guys had to be prepared for this. And so I put the armor of God here. I wanted us to just real quick. Again, this is a whole sermon. And I have preached this, but just real quick, look at the armor of God. And look what he's saying here. For this reason, take up the whole armor of God. Supplies. Then you'll be able to take a stand. Look how many words stand is in there. During these evil days. Once you have overcome all the obstacles, you'll be able to stand your ground. So then take your stand. Fasten truth around your waist like a belt. Truth. Circle that word. You prepare yourself with truth, all right? You prepare yourself with truth. You get the truth. What is the truth? What is true? I'm going to tell you, the truth is right here. It's called the Bible. That's the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. It's God's word. Things change. I love it. Science says, we'll figure everything out for you. Science has got it all figured out. Well, when I went to school, Pluto was a planet. Now Pluto is a dwarf. I think he lives at Disneyland. Yeah. They don't even know what Pluto is, and yet they know the truth. We can tell you the truth. They don't know what the truth is. This is the truth. Live in the truth, it says. Put it around your waist. Put on God's approval as your breastplate. 7, covering your heart. Are you protecting your heart? How many here in your life had your heart stomped on? Anybody? Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody hurt you. We get our heart stomped. We got to get our heart ready. And it says here, with God. God's approval of your heart. What does God want in my heart? You know? Put on the shoes that are ready to spread the good news that gives peace. The good news of peace. Are we ready to say it? In addition to all this, take your Christian faith as your shield. You've got to have faith. It's your shield. It's what's going to protect you. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take salvation as your helmet. You know, you got to protect your mind. Satan, go after your head. You got to protect your mind with a helmet of salvation. And the word of God as a sword with the Spirit supplies. Pray in the Spirit. Might circle that word prayer. That's probably the big one. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people. He said, you got to be prepared. I want to challenge you this morning. Are you prepared to walk out into the world today? Are you prepared to face the world and what Satan has equipped and prepared in that world for you? Because I'm going to tell you, Satan's waiting for you. Satan is looking to pick each of us off. He wants to attack each of us. To me, that's what church is so important. You know, this is my safety place. This is my secure place. See, church and my small group Bible study and you know the three things I tell you week in and week out. You know those three things you got to have in your life. You got to have a church in your life. You got to have a small group in a Bible study you can be in, and you got to have somebody who can say the hard things to you. You got to have those three things. And you need to have those things. You need to be reading God's word daily. You need to be talking to God daily. You need to be having those things. Are you prepared for this world? Are you prepared what Satan's going to throw at you when you walk out that door? You're going to walk out there at that door in a little while today. A little while, hopefully a little while. As long as I don't preach long. You'll walk out that door and you're going to be hit with the hot air, right? You're going to go out there. Whoa, it's going to be 92, 96 today. I don't know. It's going to be hot out there. You know. 101, whatever it is, it's going to be hot. Not as hot as hell, but hot. And you're going to get hit. Are you prepared for that? Yeah. Come with your shorts on, you know, short sleeve shirt. You know, we prepare for the heat, but we don't prepare for the battle that Satan's out there to get at us. We're not ready for Satan. I'll come to church when it's convenient. I'll go to Bible study when I want to. Nobody needs to tell me what to do. I don't need any. We don't prepare for the fight that's out there. And then when we're attacked, it's like, what did I do? Why me? Yeah. You got to get ready. You got to get ready. These guys had to be prepared. It goes on. Look at what happens next. First, they got to eat this food. And then among these, Daniel 1, 6 through 7. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, I'm guessing, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. Here's their names. Here's these guys' names. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel became Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. All right. He changed their names. Now, this is important. He changed their names because their names meant something about God. Their name, I wrote this down so I make sure I got it right. Daniel's name meant, let's see, how did I write that? God is my judge. That's what Daniel's name meant. Hananiah's name meant, God has been gracious. Meshach's name meant, who is what God is. And Azariah's name meant, God has helped. They had God. They had Yahweh. They had Elohim. They had God in their name. And so when we went to Babylon, the king says, we got to change that. We got to change their name. And so he changed their name. And here, let me give you their new name so you get the meaning of their new name. Belshazzar is, they really struggle with it. It's a compound name, and it probably means it had about a god of Saturn, and it meant protect the king. Shadrach meant command of Aku, which is the god of the moon. Meshach meant who is what is Iku is. Again, the god of the moon. And the last one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I got to get them right, meant servant of Nebo. They were all fake gods, false gods. They changed their name because they wanted to take their name away about Yahweh. They want them to be who they are, to believe what they believe, take what they take. See, he had changed all that. I want you to see this picture. Here's these young men living in this country of Jerusalem, Judea, captured, kidnapped, taken around to Babylon. And in Babylon, they're indoctrinated into the language, the beliefs, and the behaviors of the Babylonians and given new names. They're to change. They're to be like everybody else. And that's what God and that's what Satan wants to do with us. He wants to pull us aside and just fit like, be who everybody else is. Be like everybody else. And this is a challenge. But here's what I want you to know. Here, look at this next verse, verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Okay, I'm going to read on in a minute. But Daniel decided he would not defile himself with the king's food and with the wine that he drank. He decided, I'm resolved. He made a decision. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to eat the king's food. Now, there's two important things here I think we need to understand. As he's talking with this, I want you to know, he didn't argue about his name, did he? He didn't say, don't change my name, don't deal with my name. There was not a conversation about the name change. The problem was with the food. It's breaking God's command. See, we get tight when people call us names. See, we get upset and we attack when people call us names. Call me whatever you want to call me. I've been called all sorts of names. You know, some good, some bad. I like Gary the Great, if you want to know the name I like, okay? That's my favorite one. All right? Now, some of you tweaked that to Gary the Gray, and I don't like that one. You know? But we call people names. I mean, you know, think this. Fight the right way for the right thing. For the right reason. The fight wasn't about the names. The fight was about the food. See, it wasn't, do whatever you want with me. Do whatever you want to do with me. Call me whatever you want to call me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. But don't change and attack my God. Do you see the picture? You know, it's not about me that's going to bother me. It's about what you do to my God. My God told me not to do this. My God instructed me not to go here. And so I'm not going to do that. So I want you to see that. He resolved. He made his mind up. He resolved that they're not going to do that. It was a decision that he made. And so I put it this way. Here's the other thing. You want to get ready for a battle? You need to pre-decide. You need to pre-decide. You need to decide now. You know, he didn't wait till the food was put on the table. Daniel didn't wait till, okay, it's dinner time. Come on in. Everybody sit down. Eat your dinner. He didn't wait for the dinner bell. He called the eunuch. He called the gatekeeper. He called the jailer aside and said, listen, I have a problem. My God doesn't want me to eat that food. That's not what I want to eat. He had a meeting with his jailer. He pre-decided what he was going to do. He didn't wait to that last minute to do it. And I thought of another decision that Israel had to make before they got into the promised land. Look at what it says here in Joshua 24:15. This is when Joshua, they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and Joshua's sitting there saying, listen, you got to make a decision. Are you going to follow God or are you not? You got to pre-decide before you go into the promised land. You got to pre-decide what you're going to do. This is what Joshua said. But if you don't want to serve the Lord, you must choose for yourself today whom you will serve. You may serve the gods of your ancestors worshipped when they lived on the other side of the Euphrates River. Or you may serve the gods and Amorites who live in this land. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua pre-decided, I'm going to cross into the promised land and I'm going to serve God. Period. When I cross that line, I'm going to serve God. I challenge you every Sunday when I give an invitation at the end of the service, and I'll do it again this Sunday, about becoming a Christian. And I make it as plain as I can. Being a Christian isn't walking this aisle in this church or any church. It's not getting baptized in some church. It's not doing everything right that's going to make you a Christian. It's not being a good person that's going to make you a Christian. You become a Christian, you do something like this. I mean, you know right where I'm going, right? You've heard this many times. You got to reach a point in your life where you say something like this: God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do things your way. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who says, I have pre-decided from this day on, I am going to do what God says. That's what a Christian is. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel sat there and said, we have decided we will not do this. That's what Joshua told the people. You decide, who are you going to go with? One or the other, which are you going to do? And in our world today, we have to pre-decide how we're going to do things. Laura and I go out to dinners, and being on a school board, I get to go out to the events, and sometimes there's alcohol. And Laura and I made a decision a long time ago. I was 17, even before you could drink. I made a decision. I didn't want to drink. I don't want to. Now, I can't sit here as a preacher and say, the Bible says everybody's a teetotaler. I can't. There's a verse that says, drink a little wine for your belly, okay? That's pretty hard to deny God's word. But as a pastor, I worry about somebody who has an addiction to alcohol, who's fighting that addiction. And maybe I take a drink and say, well, the pastor can do it, so I can. And they can't stop at one. And they go to two, and they go to three, and they go to four. And so I've made a decision. Laura and I make it. We go to these restaurants. We do not drink alcohol. I got something else right. I don't drink coffee either, so ha. You know? We pre-decided, I'm not going to do that. There's some pre-decisions we need to make. You need to make some decisions about different things in our lives. We need to pre-decide those. I love going to parties. Maybe you enjoy going to parties. I like parties. I enjoy going to parties. But I know I'm not supposed to get drunk, so I'm going to go to the party and I'm not going to drink. Pre-decide. Maybe you're saying, if I go to a party and I say I'm not going to drink, more than likely, guess what? I'm probably going to end up drinking. So you don't go to the party. You pre-decide. You pre-decide. Some of you teenagers, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to pre-decide. I'm not having sex till I get married. You need to pre-decide that now, not when you're in the backseat of a car with a guy or a girl. Am I meddling now? You know? You need to pre-decide right now. I am not living with somebody. I remember Don Lowe used to be our music and worked here with our music. His son married my daughter. Him and his son is getting ready to go off to college. And so he asked his son, we talked about this. It's fun when I'm going to tell you, it's nice when the in-laws are Christians and you can talk. And we talked about it. He took his son out to play golf. And he says, what's your plans? You know, you're getting ready to go off to college. You're dating this girl, you know, the preacher's daughter. You know, what's your plans? And he goes, well, I know we can't live together, so I guess we're going to get married. Yeah. Pre-decided. We're not going to do this, so we're going to do this. We need to pre-decide. What do you need to pre-decide today? Yeah. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to, I don't know. What are you going to pre-decide? What do you need? Not only pre-decide what you're not going to do, what are you going to pre-decide that you're going to do? You know, there's another decision Laura and I made. We go to church on Sunday. I don't care if it's hot. I'm going to church on Sunday. I don't care where I'm at. I've been in Orlando, Florida, and it's like, Evie, give me a church. So I went to her, I guess, a cousin's church or somebody's church I went to in Florida. I go up to see my daughter and watch my grandkids graduate school. I'm up in Washington, in Battleground. We drive over to Vancouver to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to church on Sunday. Somewhere, someplace, I'm going to church. I go see my son in Atlanta. I go to church. Yeah. I go to church. I'm driving to Glorieta, New Mexico. My car breaks down. Needles. Wonderful place to break down. Hot. No car. And it's like we get up that morning. I'm with some other guys. We're on our way to a church camp. We go to church. We got up Sunday morning. Our car is in the shop. They can't work on it until Monday. What are we going to do? We get up that morning. We walk in Needles, Arizona in June to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to my small group tomorrow. Anybody in my small group tomorrow? We're going to be there, right? Come on. We're going to be there tomorrow. I'm going. You need to pre-decide some decisions. What do you need? What am I not going to do? What am I going to do? You need to make those decisions now. They didn't wait for that food to go in front of them. They made the, hey, listen, can we talk about this? You know, I heard what he said, and we're going to have a problem here. Yeah. He didn't wait. I want to encourage you. What do you need to pre-decide? Is there something you need to stop? I can't do this. I'm deciding I'm not going to go there. Yeah. Something you're going to start? Pre-decide. Yeah. I've talked about my marriage. We just finished a series on marriage. And I tell you, I have rules about marriage. I don't get in the car with another woman. I've told you guys that. I challenge every man to have those same rules. I don't have a meeting with a woman at this. I won't even go to this church and have. I remember sitting in front of the old blue church with a young lady because I'm not going inside the church to have a meeting with her. You want to talk with me? We're going to sit in the front steps to talk. Because I pre-decide. I'm not going to be in a room by myself with another woman. Unless she's my wife. I pre-decide. I'm not going to go. I've sat on the steps of that old blue church and had meetings because I wouldn't go in the office. I pre-decide. What are you going to do? What are you not going to do? I challenge you with that. I encourage you with that. Look how he dealt with it. I think it's real important, though, how he dealt with it. I want to make sure you notice this. How did he deal with this? He you know, here's this food. It's not my name. I'm going to choose my battle carefully, okay? I'm not going to fight about my name. That doesn't bother. Call me whatever you want to call me. But don't ask me to break the commands of God. So let's have a meeting. Look at what it says here. Look at what it says. Daniel 1, 12 through 14. Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you. And deal with your servant according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. See, I want to make sure you see this. He didn't have a big fight. Didn't have a big argument. I tell you this, when Laura and I go to those restaurants and they have wine glasses on the table, you know what Laura and I do? I stand up, I get on top of that chair, and I sit there, alcohol is evil! No, I don't do that, all right? Now, you need to know, I had an aunt and uncle killed by a drunk driver. I think alcohol is evil. You need to know that. I believe alcohol is evil, all right? I see families destroyed. I see women abused. I see marriages devastated by alcohol. That's me, all right? But I don't do that at that restaurant. Laura and I, we just reach over there, we take that wine glass, turn that wine glass up, and put it in the middle of the table. Never say a word. Do that with the coffee cup, too. We just turn that cup over. Never say a word. You know what the guy comes to? He comes by and doesn't even say it. We just grabs a glass and leaves. The right way, for the right time, for the right reason. Get it? You know, there's a time and a place for those kind of conversations. We need to see that. He didn't have this fight when he says, check it out. Let's do this. Try this. You know, we're in the midst of our country in a very heated battle right now. And I think this is when Christians can really show who we are. If we don't come out of this fighting and yelling and screaming and calling names and attacking, and we come out saying we love, we care, we feel this is a wrong choice and a wrong decision, it can make a difference. The right way, at the right time, for the right reason. See, he didn't fight. He didn't argue. He didn't pull out his gloves and said, we're going to go to town over this. He didn't, no anger, no hostility, no unkind words. Let's talk about this. Let's see if we can work this out. Let's see what we can do with this. Let's see if we can do something different with this. And what happened? Look at what happened. Daniel 1:19. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. These guys stood out. Because they took a stand, they stood out. See, I want to challenge us this morning to take a stand. Not to take a stand in hostility, not to take a stand in anger, not to take a stand because we're right and they're wrong and I got to straighten everybody out. You know, I dread looking at Facebook right now. I don't like looking at Facebook in the first place. But with this decision that comes down, I see all this hate and venom out there. I don't care if you're a Christian or you support the gay movement. I don't care which way you go. That's not what God called us to do. Just get a bigger Bible and hit them in the head with it, right? Bigger back Bible. Yeah. No. It's called grace and mercy. Yeah. There's a battle out there, and Satan is leading people astray. He makes it sound so good. It's so loving, and it's so compassionate, and it's the thing we need. Is that what he did with these guys? Look, yeah, you got this food. You got nice room and board. You're getting your education paid for. It's costing you nothing. You guys, you got it made. These guys have it made. It's made in the shade. They got the life of Riley. Anybody remember that one? Old-time stories, man. I'm getting old. Yeah. These guys have it all. Free education, room, board. They're set up. And yet, I can't eat that food. They took a stand. So I want to challenge you this morning. You know, if you're not taking a stand, you're bending over. You're bending. You're flowing with the wind. You're being tossed about. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to say. But I want to challenge you with this. If you look at the bottom of the page, I put it this way. We're going to stand out in the right ways, at the right time, for the right reasons. What's amazing to me, just so you guys know, this message and these ideas are months old. I had no idea what was going to be issued by the Supreme Court on Friday. I had no idea. But I think these words apply specifically to today. We're going to look at Daniel for VBS. Look at Daniel. Think about standing out. You can get tossed around. Believe one thing this day and another thing the next day. I got to fit in. I want to be like everybody else, but I want to challenge you. What do you need to pre-decide today? As you look at your life and you look at your choices, you have choices to make. You're going to walk out this door with some choices. What do you need to decide right now? Right now in this place, what do you need to decide? Laura and I were at Disneyland, you guys know, and we're getting our picture taken. We had a button. Said anniversary button. Button said 39 years on our button. I was surprised with how many people. You've been married 39 years? Yeah. What's the big deal? I was surprised. People are going, 39 years, that's a long time. You know? Like you've been in jail for 39 years? No. You know? And one of the photographers, because I get lots of pictures, he asked this question. He goes, why has it stayed so long? How have you made it stay so long? I'd say the guy's probably early 20s. How have you made it stay so long? And so we got in this conversation. You know what his words to me was? He was kind of afraid to get married. He was afraid to get married because he didn't want to get married and have it break up. And so we asked him, how did you stay married so long? I said, it's a God thing. That's what I told him. It's a God thing. See, Laura and I pre-decided before we got married, you know what? We're not. It's for life. I'm married for life. Pre-decided when I walked that aisle. What if it don't work out? I can get a divorce. When I read things in the newspaper about pre-marriages, well, this is my first marriage. It's just a starter marriage. I've heard that. It's like, starter marriage? Pre-decide. But I was just 39 years. I'm looking forward to our 40th. I've already got a plan for my 40th. We talked to some people there about doing our 40th. Yeah. Because I ain't going nowhere. Laura's not either. I ain't letting her. Yeah. Pre-decide. I'm going to tell you, what do you need to pre-decide? I don't know what it is. I don't know where you're at. Yeah. I'm going to make it work no matter what. I'm not going to have sex before marriage. I'm going to do this. I pre-decide I'm going to do this. What do you need to pre-decide today? I leave that with you. What do you need to pre-decide today? Are you prepared? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Lord, I've decided long ago, I'm going with you. Wherever you lead, I'll go. You know, as I'm praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some things you need to pre-decide today, right where you're sitting. And you want me to pray for you. It's like, I'm deciding right now to, you make that decision. And you want me to pray for you to have the strength to stand out, to stand on that. Will you just shoot your hand up and I'll pray for you. Just shoot, thank you, I see it. Thank you, I see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the arms of those who are making decisions. Decisions now that will affect every day of their lives from this day forward. Lord, I ask you to encourage them and to strengthen them, to walk with them and empower them, to let your truth comfort them, to let your spirit strengthen them, to let your presence walk with them as they face the battles and the choices of every day. Encourage them and be with them. We ask this in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, it was interesting as I wrap up, we're going to give an invitation, opportunity for you to respond.